Mataji Prabhu ji ki.
Yes. Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa Conference. So today's class will be given by His Grace Adi Gadadhara Das Prabhuji on the topic of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Leela, Chapter 3, Text Number 133 onwards. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, are you on the present on the call? Oh, you are already present. Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Dhanvat Pranam. All goes to Sri Prabhupada, all goes to Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much for joining and giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on this topic. And please, I now hand over the call to you. Hare Krishna, Prabhupada, please take over the call. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Kaumodaki Mataji, my humble obeisances to you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to all the devotees on this conference call. Is my voice clear?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay. So if it is not clear, tell me. I can make some changes.
Yeah, it's clear.
So
now it's clear. Okay. I don't know later on.
Okay, if my voice is not good, then just let me know and I will change something.
Okay.
So very, very grateful to the organizers of Bhakti Sangha Japa Group, specifically Her Grace Priti Vilasini Mataji, for giving me this very, very wonderful opportunity to come in the association of all of you and speak Harikatha. This is the highlight of my day, to be with all of you and speak Harikatha. And we will be discussing few verses today from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Leela, Chapter 3, starting from verse number 133. So, dear devotees, let us chant our Mangalacharan prayers first. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Maha Vadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tvise Namaha Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा राम राम हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद, जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद, जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद। आनंद लीलामय विग्रहाय हेमाभ्य दिव्या छवि सुंदराय तस्मै महाप्रेम रस प्रदाय चैतन्य चंद्राय नमो नमस्ते। वैराग्य विद्या निज भक्ति योगा शिक्षार्थमेका पुरुष पुराण श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य शरीर धारी कृपां बुधिर्यस्तमहं प्रपद्ये। जयति जयति देवा कृष्ण चैतन्य चंद्र जयति जयति कीर्ति स्तस्य नित्या पवित्रा जयति जयति भृत्या तस्य विश्वेश मूर्तेर जयति जयति नृत्या तस्य सर्व प्रियानाम। हरे कृष्ण। रीडिंग वर्स नंबर 133 फ्रॉम श्री चैतन्य चरितामृत अंतरीला चैप्टर 3 द ग्लोरीज ऑफ श्री हरिदास ठाकुर। So, just to give a little background, Haridas Thakur is our Namacharya. Haridas Thakur is our Namacharya. And he appeared in a Muslim family. There are some devotees who claim that Haridas Thakur was actually not born in a Muslim family. He was born in a Brahmin family, but he was raised by Muslim parents. But such statements are generally made by devotees who have jati buddhi. They somehow want to authenticate Thakur Haridas. They somehow want to legitimize Srila Haridas Thakur. And therefore, they make such statements that, oh, don't reject Haridas Thakur. He was not born in a Muslim family. He was actually born to Brahmin parents. But he was raised by a Muslim family. But no. This is a concoction. This is a figment of somebody's imagination. This is false. This is not true. Srila Haridas Thakur was in fact born to Muslim parents in a Muslim family in East Bengal, which is present day Bangladesh. And there is evidence for this. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadvip Dham Mahatmya, it is mentioned that after the Brahma Vimohan Leela, Brahmaji was very, very repentful. What have I done? I have offended the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not only that, I have offended the dear devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The friends, the Gopa friends, the calves. I tried to steal them away from Krishna. I tried to take them away from Krishna. How could I do such a horrible act? Lord Brahma was full of repentance and he did austerities. He chanted and he prayed to Krishna. At that time, Krishna appeared to Brahmaji and told him that you will take birth here in Sri Navadvip Dham in the next Yuga, in Kali Yuga. And because you are a little proud of being the greatest personality, Padmaja, you are born from the Padma, from the lotus flower that sprouts from my navel. You are called Aja because you don't have a material birth like other people. You become a little proud of your high birth. You are directly my son. You are directly my child. If somebody asks, who is your father? So we say, oh, my father is this and this. Imagine Brahmaji, who is your father? My father is Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. I have directly appeared from Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. So you became a little proud, Brahmaji. Therefore, for your purification, and because it is your desire to be humble and to serve in a very humble way, in your next birth, you will be born in a Muslim family. These are the words of Lord Krishna himself in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Haridas Thakur was, in fact, on the basis of Shastra, we know he was born in a Muslim family. So this point I wanted to make. Because some devotees speak like that. But no, it's not required. Haridas Thakur was born to Muslim parents in a Muslim family. So who was the guru of Haridas Thakur? We see everyone has a guru. Nityananda Prabhu's guru was Madhavendra Puri. Pundarik Vidyanidhi, such a senior devotee, his guru. Advaita Acharya's guru was Madhavendra Puri. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's guru was Ishwar Puri. Everyone has a guru. So who was the guru of Haridas Thakur? Haridas Thakur's guru is Lord Krishna himself. At that time, when Lord Krishna appeared to Haridas Thakur in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after the Brahma Vimohan Leela, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Haridas Thakur, you will be born in a Muslim family and you will chant Harinam. You will chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra 3 lakh names every day. 192 rounds every day you will chant, my dear Haridas. So in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Lord Sri Krishna himself became the guru of Thakur Haridas. So Haridas Thakur became such a great devotee that from his childhood, he would chant at least 3 lakh names of Krishna every day, 192 rounds. And because he was from a Muslim family and he took to the practice of Harinam Japa, he was very much ostracized from the Muslim society, because being a Muslim, he was chanting the names of the Hindu devotees, scriptures. And he was ostracized from his own Islamic society. From the Muslims also, he was ostracized. Why? Because being a Muslim, he's chanting Krishna's name. And the Hindus would not accept him. Oh, he's not a Hindu. How dare he chant the name of Krishna? How dare he chant the name of Vishnu? He's not even a Hindu. He doesn't have a right. We don't accept him. So in this way, Haridas Thakur was rejected by everyone. But Haridas Thakur took this as the mercy of Krishna. As Lord Brahma, he is at the supreme most position in this entire Brahmanda. It is an anda, it is an egg created by Lord Brahma. Brahmanda. He is the secondary creator. Atra sarga visargascha sthanam poshanam uttayam anvantare shanukatha nirodha muktir ashraya. Sarga is primary creation, which Lord Vishnu does. He gives all the ingredients. But using those ingredients from the Mahatattva, creating the universe, the secondary creation is done by Lord Brahma. So he is at the most powerful position, Lord Brahma. Even powerful demons like Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa, Hiranyaksha, they also, Ravan, they also never messed up with Lord Brahmaji. They never challenged Lord Brahmaji. Never. All the devatas were scared of Hiranyakashipu and Ravan. But there is no mention ever that Hiranyakashipu and Ravan, they attacked Satyalok. They attacked Brahmalok. Never. In fact, they prayed to Lord Brahma. They got all their strength from Lord Brahma. They asked benedictions from Lord Brahma. So Lord Brahma's position is very secure in this universe. And from having such an opulent position, Brahmaji now had a position on this lowly earth planet. From Brahmalok, you know, Tapalok, Maharlok, Indralok, all those planets, he came down, 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 down. Even on earth planet, it is Kali Yuga. Not Satya Yuga or Treta Yuga or Dwapara. It is a degraded age of Kali Yuga. That also in Kali Yuga, he is not born in a nice, pious South Indian village where Ranganath is worshipped and there are all nice Brahmins chanting Om Namo Narayanaya. He was not born in one of the mutt of Shripad Ramanujacharya, very protected. No, he was born in the Muslim society when the entire Bengal was ruled by Muslims. Parameshthi, our Brahmaji, Lord Brahma, is born in the Muslim society, that also in a Muslim family, my dear friends. And he has no money, he has no family. The Muslim society has ostracized him. The Hindu society has ostracized him. He has nowhere to go. But still, Haridas Thakur took this as Krishna's special mercy. He tolerated all this. Because in his previous appearance on Earth planet, in Dwapar Yug, when he came as Lord Brahma to test Krishna and the Brahma Vimohan Leela took place. At that time, in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma prayed his very famous prayer. Taddenu kampam susamikshamano bhunjana evatma kritam vipakam ridvakvapurbhir vidadhan namaste jivetayo mukti pade sadaya bhak. Brahmaji prayed that I will eagerly wait for your mercy, tolerating all the vipak, all the troubles and torments that come my way, accepting them as my own karma, atmakrit. And I will just wait for your mercy, always praying to you, always worshipping you with my body, mind and heart and my words. Brahmaji was true to his prayer. He didn't just pray like that. In the 10th canto, when Krishna tested him, he passed the test. Brahmaji actually lived his life in the spirit of this verse, Tattenu kampam susamikshamano. Never complained. Never complained. And it is also said, Yasyaham anugranami harishye tad dhanam shanay tad dhanam tejantyasya swajana dukha dukhada. Again, this is also mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna himself says to Yudhishthira Maharaj, when I am specially merciful to somebody, I take away everything from that devotee. Then all that devotee has left is me. And then that devotee takes complete shelter of me. Again, Brahmaji was put to the test. He had to go through this and he had to prove this verse to be true. Everything was taken away from Haridas Thakur. Everything. But he took it as Yasyaham anugranami. This is anugraha. This is the mercy of Krishna. He took it like that. And you must have read in the preceding classes how Haridas Thakur was tortured and tormented and ill-treated everywhere he went. And now he is at a place called Benapol. And there this envious zamindar, Ramchandra Khan, who works for the Muslim government of Bengal, he wants to really get rid of Haridas Thakur. He wants to not just get rid of him, but get rid of him in a very mean way. he wants to ruin the reputation of this great Vaishnava and finish him off. Because Ramchandra Khan is feeling threatened by Haridas Thakur. Because Ramchandra Khan is the most respected personality in that village. He's a zamindar. He's like a mini king of that area. And suddenly this Babaji comes and he's sitting in front of a tulsi plant outside the village of Benapol, and everybody is giving him respect. Every day there is a line of villagers who go to take darshan of Haridas Thakur and offer him respects. Oh, Thakur Mahashay, Dandavat Pranam, Dandavat Pranam. Ramchandra Khan cannot accept this, that somebody else in his village, in his presence, is getting more respect than he was. Such is the nature of envy, my dear friends. We have to be very careful. Today we may be the Bhakti Vriksha leader, but tomorrow someone else may come who is more competent, who is more popular, who is at that service. And we should not make a condition that no, you can only work under me. If you are not working under me, you are rebellious. You are not following the proper parampara, the proper standards. We should not make such conditions. We have to be humble and we have to be broad-minded. It is said that there are three types of devotees in this world. Please listen to this very carefully, my dear friends. There are three types of devotees in ISKCON. One type is devotees who are very humble, who are very submissive. They are like Ajata Paksha Iva Mataram Khaga. They are like small little birds. And they want their Shiksha Guru or Diksha Guru or counselor or mentor or Bhakti Vriksha leader to spoon feed them, to tell them everything. Okay, now you do this service, now you do that, now you listen to this class, now this festival is coming, you listen to this series of lectures, now Purushottam Adhik Mas has come, you do this, chant so many rounds, chant these ashtakams, do like this, come for this program, do this service. They need to be spoon-fed everything. Because it is their nature to be dependent on the superiors. They will not do much independently. They need to be told, okay, now you start a Bhakti Vriksha of your own, come on. They need to be told, now come on, reach out to some people. Conduct your Bhakti Vriksha meeting. They have to be told constantly. And if they are told, if they are guided, then they are very happy. They will perform their devotional service very nicely. They will do their bhajan very nicely. They will take up different services very nicely under guidance. They need to be guided always. And they feel very happy. They may have spent 10 years in Krishna consciousness, 15 years in Krishna consciousness, 20 years in Krishna consciousness. But still, they will ask, what should I do? Prabhuji, please tell me. Please guide me, Prabhuji. They are always like that. They are a dependent type of devotees. Now please listen carefully. The second category of devotees is devotees who are very smart. They have a lot of initiative. They have a lot of enthusiasm. They have a lot of confidence. And you guide them a little bit and they will just take off from that. They will build on those instructions and they will do tremendous service with very little oversight, with very little supervision. And they will do a good job. Like I have a friend, he was new to Krishna consciousness. He started chanting 16 rounds, following the principles, attended a few lectures. And then one day he came to me and he said, Prabhu, I want to do a self-discovery course. I want to do a science of self-discovery course in my office. I have some office friends that I preach to. I will call them to my house one day and I will do the self-discovery course. And I want to do it for like 5 days. So I will call them every day and I will do it. So can you guide me? I said, yeah, I will guide you. And I gave him two lecture series, one by Radha Gopinath Prabhu, it's on ISKCON Desire Tree, and one by Shubha Vilas Prabhu, also on ISKCON Desire Tree. I said, you hear these two series of lectures and you can see how the PowerPoint is made and you can make PowerPoint and you do it. He did it. This was around 3 years ago, 2017. He did it and he got so many devotees from that. And he was not even initiated that time. And so many devotees came and now those devotees are Bhakti Vriksha leaders in 3 years. So this devotee has initiative. He can just, you give him little guidance and he can build on it. So these devotees are very independent minded. They need some guidance, not that totally independent minded. They need some guidance. They need some training. And then they are eager to fly on their own. They develop their wings very soon. They like to fly on their own. This is the second category of devotees. The third category of devotees, my dear friends, are those devotees who are in the middle. They are neither category one nor category two. They are in the middle. Throughout their life, they will need guidance. They will ask questions. But at the same time, taking that inspiration, simultaneously, they will push forward the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they will do things under guidance, but they will do. They will have initiative. They can give classes. They will start their own Bhakti Vriksha. But under guidance, they will say, Prabhu, once in a while, can you come and give class? Please guide me, Prabhu. Give me feedback, Prabhu. Which book should I read now? Which lecture should I hear? So they will be constantly taking guidance also, and they will be doing things on their own also. This is the third category. Majority devotees fall in the third category, my dear friends. Some devotees are in the first category and some devotees are in the third category. But now listen to this. Listen attentively. All these three categories of devotees, they are equally advanced. All these three categories of devotees, they are equally good. They are equally advanced. They are equally worshipable. We should not think that category one devotees are less than category two because they apparently don't have enthusiasm. No, category one has enthusiasm. They are enthusiastic to chant their rounds very nicely at home. They are enthusiastic to do their deity worship very nicely at home. They are pakka in their sadhana. They are pakka in their service. You tell them to do some cooking service or some menial service and they will do it nicely with all their heart. But it is their nature to be in the background. It is their nature to not be in the forefront. You tell them to lead kirtan, tell them to give a class, they may not be comfortable. But they may be comfortable sitting and hearing. They will tell you, Prabhu, speak class for 3 hours. I want to sit and hear. Speak for 4 hours. They will never miss a class. Category one. Never. They will never miss a class. They will always be there in that satsang, sitting there, cross-legged, with an erect back, enjoying the lecture. That is category one. We should not think that they are less. Absolutely not. All the three categories are equally advanced. And we should not think that category two is over smart. They're extra smart, independent minded. I need to clip their wings. I need to control them. Otherwise they will get out of hand. They will start their own movement. They will start their own society. No, not like that. Not like that. We should not think like that. different categories of devotees, my dear friend, need different type of care. If you tell the first category, you go to that city and you start a ISKCON center there, they will be mortified. What? How can I do that? I cannot do that. That's too overwhelming for them. You tell them, you become a temple president. Ooh, so much stress. Oh my God, I can't handle it. It is not their nature. You train the category 2 and tell them you become a temple president. Or you go and you start a temple there. That will be an adventure for them. Yes, I will do it, Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu, for your trust in me. I will do it. I will not let you down. And boom, they will go and do enthusiastically. So now, if category 1, we tell them, go independently, start their own temple there in that city. They'll be mortified. And you tell category 2, don't be too independent. First you come and attend all my classes and sit and complete this Bhakti Shastri. Then complete Bhakti Vaibhav. No need to preach until you are chanting nicely, until you have finished your Bhakti Shastri. No need to conduct self-discovery. You are not even initiated. Listen to me. You must listen to authority. You must be submissive. Hey, why are you giving classes? Why are you starting your own group in your house? You should come for my Bhakti Riksha. Do you think you are very advanced? If we try to check the activities of category 2 like this, because we are insecure in our heart, because we are envious, then they will feel micromanaged. Category 2 will feel micromanaged. Category 1 will be nourished by that micromanagement. They will feel cared for. They will feel secure with micromanagement. But category 2 will feel suffocated if they are micromanaged. They need to be given their independence. They need to be given their space. They need to be given opportunity to grow. At the same time, the right person who has the right spiritual authority has to guide them and keep them in check also to make sure that they are following the proper parampara. And likewise, category 3. Not that category 3 you just spoon feed them and don't give them opportunity to do something on their own. Or you give them too much opportunity to do something on their own and not guide them, not nourish them enough. If that is done, then they will fall down. So all the 3 categories of devotees are equally advanced. They are equally special. They are equally respectable. But all 3 types of devotees need different care, different type of care. And that a leader must understand. Therefore, we have to deal differently with different people. That is the secret in our society. How the society will grow. If we feel that, oh, this devotee is so submissive. He has been attending my Bhakti Riksha for 5 years. But even today he respects me. Even today he sits in my class. And look at this devotee. He has been coming only for 2 years and how independent he is behaving. If we start thinking like this, then we need training. We need to grow up. We need to mature up. So different devotees need different type of care. And that is the responsibility of the leader to understand. Ramchandra Khan did not understand this. Being a leader of that village, he became very, very envious of Haridas Thakur and tried to pull him down. This is textbook definition of envy, my dear friends. When you try to pull a Vaishnava down, he called a meeting of prostitutes. And the youngest, most beautiful prostitute, her name was Lakshahira. She was given the top compensation package. You go and you make Haridas Thakur fall down and I will give you so much money. You will never have to work again. I will not describe the whole story in detail because the previous speakers must have described it. So I will just continue from where the verse has been given. So Lakshahira comes to make him fall down, but our Thakur Mahashaya is absorbed in chanting. Therefore, we should be so much busy, my dear friends, that we don't have any time levels workshop. What happens is we come to Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada gave minimum 16 rounds because devotees were very busy that time. So 16 rounds is minimum. Initially, it takes 2 hours to chant 16 rounds. For some devotees, even more. But Srila Prabhupada says, it is Srila Prabhupada's quote, that as we chant more and more, our speed increases. For most devotees. For most devotees, the speed increases. May not happen with everybody. Doesn't have to happen with everybody. Everybody is different. We just discussed. There are different types of devotees. Sometimes the speed increases. For me, definitely I remember. When I was a brand new bhakta, when I started chanting 16 rounds, it would take me 1 hour 55 minutes. Almost 2 hours. 16 rounds would take. Then as the years went by, after having chanted for around 10 years, then I used to finish in 1 hour 45 minutes. Then after 15 years, 1 hour 35 minutes, 6 minutes per round. So just look, my dear friends, now. There was a time when I was a new bhakta, but I was chanting for 2 hours, 16 rounds. And now I'm chanting only for 1 hour 30 minutes. Why? Because my speed has increased. But apparently the number is same. That time also I was chanting 16 rounds and now also I'm chanting 16 rounds. But that time I was investing 2 hours sitting and chanting Harinam. But now I'm spending only 1 hour 30 minutes. I have reduced my bhajan by 25% without even realizing it. In fact, I'm feeling a relief that yes, now 16 rounds can be, I'm done with them in just 1.5 hours. I have more time for other important things. This, my dear friends, is Maya. This is insincerity. If somehow Krishna has given you more efficiency, where in less time you can chant more Naam, then you should increase your Sankhya. But make sure you are chanting for 2 hours. Don't do 1.5 hour. Make sure we should all chant at least 2 hours. At least 2 hours every day. What is there in this world? Death can come at any time. So we have to make a schedule. Everyone should have a schedule, my dear friends. We must have a schedule. I feel very surprised when sometimes I'm talking to devotees and I ask them, so do you have a schedule? And they say, no. I'm surprised. How can we live a life without a schedule? Even Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the spiritual world follow a schedule. I always say this point. They have their Ashtakaliya Leela. Their day is divided into 8 parts, Ashtakaliya Leela, Ashtaprahar. Each period is 3 hours long, 24 hours in a day. 8 times 3 is 24. So their day is divided into 8 sections, each section 3 hours long. And they have specific activities in each Prahar. So if Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are following a schedule, and because they are following a schedule in the spiritual world, all our Gurugan, including Rupa Manjari and everyone, they are also following a schedule. Because Radha and Krishna have a schedule. When it is time for Nikunjalila has to happen. And the Manjaris and the Gopis have to assist. When there is Gocharan Leela, there is some other service for us. We have to make garlands, we have to cook, because then there will be a meeting between Radha and Krishna where service is required. So at different times of the day, different services are there. So we must have a timetable, whether we are homemakers, whether we are working from home, or whether we are going to the office or clinic or hospital or court or whatever our service may be, business, shop. We must have a timetable, a rough timetable. We may not be able to stick to it, but we must have a timetable, a schedule. That these 2 hours are for my chanting. This is time for puja. While doing puja, I will hear a Bhagavatam class. This is my time for cooking. While cooking, if my family members don't need me, I will hear a lecture. This is my time to bathe and whatever, taking care of my own body, I will hear some kirtan. If the situation is all right. If it's early in the morning, kids are sleeping, of course, we cannot make noise. Time, place, and circumstance. But we must have a schedule. where we fit in physical exercise to take care of our bodies so we can perform bhakti longer. We have time for chanting, we have time for reading, we have time for hearing. It may be 5 minutes. 5 minutes of reading, but we can do it sincerely and absorb. It may be 5 minutes of hearing, but we can do it sincerely and we can do it with absorption. It may be just 16 rounds that we're chanting, but they should be good quality rounds. Even the busiest person can do that. I will tell you a story from my own personal life, how important chanting is. I should not speak like this, but I will tell because Bhakti Sangha Japa Group is very dear to my heart. So I speak from my heart on this conference call. So it was the year 2009, and I got into general surgery residency training at New York, Albert Einstein School of Medicine. And I was working in one of the hospitals in the Bronx. And it was very busy. You can imagine the Bronx. We used to get stab wounds, gunshot wounds, this trauma, that trauma. In addition to the bread and butter general surgery, gallstones, appendicitis, kidney stones, this and that, abscesses. So it was a very busy program. It was a community hospital, but it was university affiliated, but very busy program. Very, very busy. I will tell you my schedule. I would wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I would get ready in 15 minutes, brush, bath, wear your clothes and jump into the car in 15 minutes. And I would reach the hospital by 4:45. It was half an hour drive. 4:45. The parking lot was little far away from the hospital. So I had to jog 5 minutes to the hospital because in New York, you know, it's parking is very difficult to get. So then go to the hospital by five, inside the hospital physically, start rounding on the patients by 5 o'clock in the morning. And 5 to 5:30, I would quickly eyeball my patients, quickly see my patients. And then my senior would come. And then I would round with them. I would round with them till 6 o'clock. Then 6 o'clock, the attending would come. Attending means the board certified surgeon, the senior doctor. And then all the residents, including myself, I was a junior resident called intern. We would round with the boss for 1 hour from 6 to 7. 7 o'clock sharp, we would enter the OR operating room because 7 o'clock the OR started. And then we would be doing surgeries all day long till 5:30, 6 p.m. Then the OR would get over and we would come back to the floor, surgical floor, to round on the post-operative patients. How are they doing? And that would go for 1 hour till 7 o'clock in the evening. Then our bosses would leave and we would still be working. Why? Because we have to prep the next day's patients for the next day's surgeries. So then we would do pre-rounding. We would start rounding on those patients who are going to have surgery tomorrow. Make sure all the relevant blood tests are done. The anesthesiologist would give us a list of things that had to be done. Take care of all those things. Order their x-rays, this, that. You know, make sure they're shaved. All those things. And by the time we finished, it used to be 8:30, 9 o'clock. Then you come to your car, drive home. It's 9:30. By the time I would come home, my son Gopal, he was 5-6 years old, he would be asleep because he had school next day. Then come, have some dinner, Prashad, and then you're so dead tired, just crash. By 10:30, 11 o'clock sleep, because again you have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. So hardly 5.5 hours of sleep every night. And this was the schedule 6 days a week. And I would get 4 days in a month off, either a Sunday or a Saturday. This all the surgery residents follow. So we used to work on an average 100 hours a week. The rule was 80 hours, but it used to always go over. And we were told just, I should not say, but we were told log in 80 hours. Don't log in more than 80 hours. And, you know, we wanted to be surgeons. So we enjoyed what we did. But you can imagine what I was initiated several years ago before this. So I'm an initiated devotee. I have taken vows and this is my schedule. Please tell me how I can chant my 16 rounds. So in the car, I would chant 4 rounds while going, half an hour, 4 rounds. That time I would chant slowly. So 7 minutes for 1 round. In the car, I would be chanting Hare Krishna while driving, 4 rounds. while coming four rounds. That's eight rounds. And then in my white lab coat, I would be carrying a clicker. And I would chant the remaining rounds on the clicker, but I would only finish in the whole day in the elevator while walking from one patient's room to the next patient's room. In between, if there is some time in between surgeries, just go to the locker room and chant 10, 12 times Mahamantra, put the clicker in the locker, come back for the next OR, next case, next surgery. I would chant two or three rounds on the clicker. So 8 plus 2 or 3, that's roughly 10 rounds. Month after month, I chanted as an initiated disciple in the year 2009 during my surgery residency. I chanted on an average 10 rounds in a day, 10 to 11 rounds in a day. And none of those rounds were attentive rounds because 8 rounds are in the car and remaining rounds are in the clicker. So it was, you can imagine what must be happening to my bhajan. It was horrible. It was horrible. Because when I was introduced to Krishna consciousness, Gaurang Prabhu trained us that chanting has to be done in the morning. We used to come together in a hostel room and chant together for 2 hours every morning during MBBS. So I was trained like that. And this was such a big fall down for me. Not being able to chant 16 rounds after being initiated. The most hopeless fallen disciple of my Guru Maharaj, I am. And I decided to, and this was going to continue for 5 more years like this. So I was feeling guilty that I am initiated and 5 years, no 16 rounds like this. Only once a week I am able to chant 16 rounds. I should probably reconsider my career. So I spoke to my counselors and they told me, Maharaj is coming to Bhakti Center. You better go and talk to him. So it was, I think, December. And Maharaj came to Bhakti Center. And I requested my counselors to please put in a word to Maharaj and tell them that this Adi Gadadhar Das is going to come. He's a disciple and he has a very important question to ask. My question was, should I leave surgery and go into medicine? Because medicine residency is short. It's only 3 years and it is a little less hectic. So I was like all set. You know, I was going to talk to Maharaj and I go there. Maharaj gives a Bhagavatam class. After that, we come down where the kitchen is in Bhakti Center. And we were all volunteering there. And there was like 5 or 6 devotees, including my wife. And Maharaj was coming and he was talking to everyone one by one, one by one, one by one. And I had spoken to my counselors. I had mentally completely thought what question I'm going to ask, how I'm going to present my problem, my dilemma, my lifestyle, and what I should do, Maharaj. Should I quit surgery and go into medicine? Because now is the time, because the applications go now and you know I have to apply for a change. So I have to talk to my program director, blah, blah, blah. I had everything thought out. This is how I'm going to present it. And it was a Sunday. That Sunday, I happened to be off. It was my off day of the week. So I was like really hoping Maharaj will give me time. And Maharaj talks to everybody. My wife is next to me. He stands and he talks to my wife for 5 minutes. My father-in-law had had an accident. So he was asking, how is your father-in-law? I heard he was this. He spoke. And then he comes to me. And now I was thinking, yes, finally my moment with Maharaj. I'm going to ask him such an important question. I have to ask him. I have been waiting months to ask Maharaj. My counselors had told me months ago that when Maharaj comes to New York, you must ask him this question directly. This is a very complicated question. I was all ready and I said, Maharaj, I want to ask you one question, Maharaj. Please, can I ask you one question? And Maharaj looked at me in my eyes. He had a very sweet smile and he said, I have to chant my rounds. And he left. He spoke to everyone in that kitchen. He spoke to my wife. He spoke to everyone. But when it came to me, he said, I don't have time. I have to chant my rounds. He had his beads in his hand. He said, I have to chant my rounds. And he left. And everybody was looking at me. My wife was looking at me. And I was embarrassed that Maharaj neglected me. I was heartbroken also that Maharaj did not speak to me. And I was at a loss. What am I going to do with my life? Maharaj is not guiding me. Even my counselor said that you must take guidance from Maharaj about this. And I was feeling so depressed. I remember. I left Bhakti Center that day feeling worse than I was feeling all these months with so much guilt. And I didn't discuss this with anybody. I didn't call up my counselors. I just couldn't digest that this happened. that's it, now Maharaj will leave and I don't know when I will see him next and I'll probably never get to talk to him and I have to make a decision. And I was so much at a loss. I actually broke down. I'll be honest. I broke down. And I was very sad for 2 days. And then the third day in the morning, as I was taking a shower, very early in the morning before I left for the hospital, I was still very sad. And while I just prayed to Guru Maharaj, please, please, Guru Maharaj, don't neglect me. Don't leave me. Krishna, please don't leave me. Please guide me. And suddenly, it dawned on me. It was like a eureka moment. That, oh, why are you feeling so morose? Maharaj has answered your question. Maharaj has answered your question. Maharaj said he has no time to talk to you. He has to chant his rounds. Maharaj is giving so much importance to his rounds, to his chanting. And what are you doing? When will you chant? When will you modify your life so that you can fit in good quality chanting, good quality bhajan, good quality sadhana every day? So it became very clear to me. That day when I went to the hospital, in the middle of the day, I called up my boss, my program director. I still remember. I called him from the OR, his office. And I said, sir, I want to speak to you. Dr. Cosgrove, I want to speak to you. And he said, yeah, come over. So I went to his office and I told him I want to change. I want to do something that is not so hectic. Because I told him I'm initiated. I have taken a vow to pray for 2 hours every day. And I'm not able to do it for the last 6 months. So please excuse me. Please understand and let me go. He said, oh yeah, I totally understand. That's cool, Abhay. No problem. I'll write letters of recommendation. And then I got into MRE. And then everything was good. Because I had time for my bhajan. So we must make time for good quality sadhana in our life. What is the use of working like, excuse my language, what is the use of working like asses, like donkeys, just with the corporate carrot hanging in front of us, of a bonus or high salary, and just working, ugra karma, and we don't have time for bhajan. That's not a sign of a sincere devotee. But anyway, let's start the class. I'm very, very sorry. So Haridas Thakur is our Namacharya. And he did not fall prey to the prostitute, but instead he told her, you sit and hear my chanting and I will fulfill all your desires. Because what desire do we have? George Harrison writes, everyone is looking for Krishna. Even Lakshahira was looking for Krishna. And Haridas Thakur could see it. Lakshahira could not. So he made her chant. He gave her what she needed. He gave her Harinam Chintamani, which will fulfill all her desires. And now, after understanding the greatness of Haridas Thakur, Lakshahira is very, she's repenting. And she's apologizing to Haridas Thakur. And she's telling him, please instruct me. Please guide me what to do. I'm so sorry. Thakur Mahashaya, please guide me. So Haridas Thakur speaks, verse number 133. ठाकुर कहे खानेर कथा सब आमी जानी अज्ञ मूर्ख से इतारे दुख नाही मानी. In the interest of time, I will not read the word to word meaning. Translation and purport by our most beloved founder Acharya. Om Vishnupad Paramhamsa Parivaraj Shri Srimad Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Shrila Prabhupad Ki Jai Iskon Guru Vrinda Ki Jai. Haridas Thakur replied, I know everything about the conspiracy of Ramchandra Khan. He is nothing but an ignorant fool. Agya, murkha. Ignorant fool. Therefore, Ramchandra Khan's activities do not make me feel unhappy. Hare Krishna. See, when the heart is very pure, heart is very clean, our intentions are very, very pure, one can speak like this. It is okay to speak like this. Haridas Thakur did not get Vaishnava Prad for criticizing Ramchandra Khan, for calling him Agya Murkha, calling him ignorant and fool. No. He did not get any Aparad for criticizing. Mahaprabhu said, if you want to become perfect, do two things. Always chant Hare Krishna and don't criticize anybody. Haridas Thakur is following that. He is not criticizing. He's calling a spade with compassion because he wants to protect Lakshahira. Lakshahira is a pawn in the hands of that Ramchandra Khan. He wants to liberate Lakshahira. He wants to save this prostitute. So he's telling the truth. In the same mood, Srila Prabhupada also called scientists fools and rascals because they deny the existence of God. God has created everything through his different energies. And the scientists say, no, it's all accident. They are calling God an accident. Rascals. 134. Sei dina yaitama e sthana chhadiya tina dina rahilaya toma nistar lagiya. Translation. On the very day Ramchandra Khan was planning his intrigue against me, I would have left this place immediately. But because you came to me, I stayed here for 3 days just to deliver you. See the mercy of Haridas Thakur. Can you imagine what must be happening to the heart of this prostitute? Her heart has become soft by hearing Shuddha Naam from Thakur Mahashaya. And now she understands that Haridas Thakur had come to know that this is a conspiracy being hatched by Ramchandra Khan. And still out of his causeless mercy, he waited just to deliver me. Veshya kahe kripa kari karaha upadesh ki mora kartavya yate yaya bhava klesh. Completely overwhelmed with gratitude, the prostitute told Haridas Thakur. The prostitute said, kindly act as my spiritual master. Karaha upadesh. Kindly act as my spiritual master. Instruct me in my duty by which I can get relief from all material existence. Verse 136. Thakur ko hai ghare ra dravya brahmane karadan ei ghar ashi tumi karah vishram. Translation. Haridas Thakur replied, immediately go home and distribute to the brahmanas whatever property you have. Then come back to this room and stay here forever in Krishna consciousness. So all the wealth this prostitute had earned was from illicit means. She was a prostitute. Haridas Thakur wanted to purify her. He told her, go and give away your house. Donate your house to the Vaishnavas and to the Brahmins. Donate your house. All those beautiful, attractive, colorful saris and jewelry that you have to attract the attention of men, go and give them away to the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas. Give everything away in charity. And then come back and live in my bhajan kutir forever, peacefully, and just do Krishna bhajan. Purport. Haridas Thakur's instruction that the prostitute should distribute to the Brahmins all the property she had at home is very significant. Haridas Thakur never advised the prostitute to give charity to the so-called Daridra Narayanas, poor Narayanas, or any other such persons. According to Vedic civilization, charity should be given only to the qualified Brahmanas. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 18.42, Shamodamastapakshaucham Kshantir Arjavam Evacha Jnanam Vigyanam Astikyam Brahma Karma Svabha. Brahminical qualifications are truthfulness, control of the senses and mind, tolerance, simplicity, knowledge, practical application of transcendental knowledge in one's life, and full faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Persons engaged in pursuing spiritual understanding have no time to earn their livelihood. I'll read it again. Persons engaged in pursuing spiritual understanding have no time to earn their livelihood. They depend completely on the mercy of the Lord, who says in the Bhagavad Gita 9.22 that he personally carries to them all their necessities. Yoga kshemam vahamyam. Ananas chinta yanto mam yejana paryupasate tesham nityabhi uktanam yoga kshemam vahamyam. The Vedic civilization recommends that one give charity to Brahmanas and Sannyasis, not to so-called Daridra Narayanas. Narayan cannot be Daridra, nor can Daridra be Narayan. For these are contradictory terms. Atheistic men invent such concoctions and preach them to fools. But charity should actually be given to Brahmanas and Sannyasis, because whatever money they get, they spend for Krishna. This is a fact, my dear friends. Just 2 weekends ago, I organized one nice Vraj Katha by Vishwaroop Prabhu. Vishwaroop Prabhu is one of the directors of Bhaktivedanta Hospital. And he has spent a lot of time in Vrindavan Dham because of the Barsanaya camp, Bhaktivedanta Hospice. He has spent a lot of time with Giriraj Maharaj and other very great devotees doing Vaishnava Seva to the Brajbasis. So I wanted to hear Vraj Katha from him. So organized, and then I sent him a donation, Dakshina, after the class. And he immediately sent me a receipt that he had used that Dakshina for one of the ISKCON projects serving Brajbasis. And he sent me the receipt also. Yeah, Prabhupada is saying, because whatever money they get, they spend for Krishna. Hare Krishna. So this is very important. Now, Purushottam Adhik Mas is going on. We must give charity to qualified sannyasis and Vaishnavas. Whatever charity one gives to a Brahman goes to Krishna, who says in the Bhagavad Gita 9.27, Yat karoshi yat ashnashi yat juhosi dadasi yat yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurushva mada arpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, and whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. Everything actually belongs to Krishna. But so-called civilized men unfortunately think that everything belongs to them. This is the mistake of materialistic civilization. The prostitute Vaishya had earned money by questionable means, and therefore Haridas Thakur advised her to distribute to the Brahmanas whatever she possessed. When Srila Rupa Goswami retired from family life, he distributed 50% of his income to the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. A Brahman knows what the absolute truth is. Brahma Janatiti Brahman. And a Vaishnava knows the absolute truth, Vishnu, and acts on behalf of the absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Generally, one earns money by many questionable means. Therefore, at some time, one should retire and distribute whatever one has to the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas who engage in devotional service by preaching the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna. Verse number 137. Oh, this is a beautiful verse. Prithivira Srinivadri, have you given the next day's verse already to the next speaker? Because I may not be able to finish. If you want, I will finish.
No, that's okay.
What I have promised.
Yeah, and we have given her 143, but she generally gives an overview, so that's okay. No problem.
Okay. So if Kirtida Sundari Mataji will not punish me, then I will stop here because we have run out of time. So this is the last verse I will speak. 137. Sorry, Mataji, for the change in the plan. So 137. These are the immortal instructions of Haridas Thakur, and they are not just prostitute, Lakshya Hira, but they are for all of us. Because we all, birth after birth, since time immemorial, we have been unchaste. We have been unchaste. Krishna Bhulya Jeev Anadir Bahirmukh. What is that verse? Krishna Bhulya Jeev Anadir Bahirmukh. Tathapi
Bhogavan Pachete Maya Tare Drupadi Adhare.
Deya Samsar Dukh. That is another verse. That is Krishna Bhulya Sei Jeev Bhogavan Chakare Nikati Maya Tare Jhapati Adhare. That is from Jagadananda Pandit's Prema Vivarta. And this is the other one, Anadir Bahirmukh, that is from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Deya Samsara Dukh. Because we forget Krishna. Thank you, Mataji, for that help. Very much. Thank you. So now, because we are also unchaste, like Lakshya Hira, therefore, these instructions are for all of us. Very simple. 2 instructions. Mahaprabhu, Haridas Thakur is speaking. Nirantara namalo kara tulsi sevan achirata pabe tabe krishnera charana. Nirantara namalo kara tulsi sevan achirata pabe tabe krishnera charan. Translation. chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra continuously and render service to the Tulsi plant by watering her and offering prayers to her. In this way, you will very soon get the opportunity to be sheltered at the lotus feet of Shri Krishna. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. At least 5,000 years ago, Lord Shri Krishna expressed his desire that everyone surrender to him. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja. Why is it that people cannot do this? Krishna assures, aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami ma sucha. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Everyone is suffering from the results of sinful activities. But Krishna says that if one surrenders unto him, he will protect one from sinful reactions. Modern civilization, however, is interested neither in Krishna nor in getting relief from sinful acts. Therefore, men are suffering. Surrender is the ultimate instruction of the Bhagavad Gita. But for one who cannot surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna, it is better to chant Hare Krishna mantra constantly under the instruction of Haridas Thakur. In our Krishna consciousness movement, ISKCON, towards to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra continuously on beads. Where are the beads? Hare Krishna. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we are teaching our followers to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra continuously on beads. Even those who are not accustomed to this practice are advised to chant at least 16 rounds on their beads, so that they may be trained. Otherwise, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended, Trinadapi sunichena taroriva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Sada means always. Haridas Thakur says, Nirantara naam lao. Chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra without stopping. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Although Krishna wants everyone to surrender to his lotus feet, because of people's sinful activities, they cannot do this. Namam duskritino muda prapadyante naradhamah. Rascals and fools, the lowest of men who engage in sinful activities, cannot suddenly surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna. Nevertheless, if they begin chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and render service unto the Tulsi plant, they will very soon be able to surrender. One's real duty is to surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna. But if one is unable to do so, he should adopt this process as introduced by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his most confidential servant, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur. This is the way to achieve success in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Always chant Hare Krishna. Serve Tulsi Maharani and never offend Vaishnavas like Ramchandra Khan is doing. This is the sum and substance of today's discussion. So I will stop here. It is 12:09. So thank you very much, dear devotees. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrit ki jai, Shriman Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj ki jai, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Are there any questions or comments? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Very, very nice class, Prabhu. Very nice. And I remember the story that you said earlier I had heard it, and from you yourself, and I was thinking of the same. Actually, sometimes even in my situation, I feel certain things are okay, but then I think Guru Maharaj always makes it clear that nothing is okay. So thank you for repeating that. It really helps me. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. One more very important thing that came to my mind is, look at this prostitute, Lakshahira. She is so submissive. You see, tomorrow you will see when Kirtida Sundari Mataji will cover the next verses, how she went from zero rounds to 192 rounds in one day. What a historical initiation. Can you imagine an initiation ceremony? How many rounds are you chanting? Zero. Okay, take a vow from today, you will chant 192 rounds. This has never happened. This will probably never happen. It is not possible. But what was the qualification of Lakshahira? She was ready to hear. We saw in today's verse, she's telling, instruct me. Tell me, I will follow. This quality is very important, my dear friends. Just offering Guru Puja, offering worship to the Guru, giving donation to the Guru, saying Jai Prabhupada, Jai Guru Maharaj, is not enough. That even Chitraketu Maharaj did. You see, in Bhagavatam, when Angira Muni came to Chitraketu Maharaj, what did Chitraketu Maharaj do? He gave an elevated seat to Angira Muni to sit on. He offered sandalwood paste to Angira Muni. He offered a beautiful garland to Angira Muni. Chitraketu Maharaj himself took a lower position and sat at the lotus feet of Angira Muni. But what was the problem with Chitraketu Maharaj? He did all these external formalities to worship Sri Guru. But what was missing in Chitraketu Maharaj's character? He was not willing to hear. He does not tell Angira Muni, tell me Krishna Katha, instruct me. No. He just welcomes him, garlanding, chandan, sit on the throne, no problem, I will sit at your feet, I will offer aarti. But he never asks, give me instructions, instruct me. Shishyasteham sadhimam tvam prapannam. That was not there. Therefore, Angira Muni also gave him a benediction. All right, you are very morose, very sad, very depressed. What do you want? I want a son. So be it. You will get Harsha Shok. So that is Sakapat Kripa. It is a cheating mercy. It is mercy. Eventually it will purify, but it is sakapat. And then there is nishkapat kripa. Nishkapat kripa. Like Lord Shiva gave to the prachetas. He gave nishkapat kripa. He gave them mantra. You chant this and you will get Krishna. And Krishna came and gave darshan. But when Ravan came asking for benediction, when Vrikasur came asking for benediction, Lord Shiva gave sakapat kripa. So we should serve the Guru in such a way that they give us nishkapat kripa. They give us real kripa. They instruct us. And Chitraketu Maharaj became ready to hear those instructions when he lost his son. And he was completely heartbroken. So that is the qualification of Lakshahira. She was willing to hear. She wanted to be instructed. And she was ready. She was the ripe disciple. So we should also become like that. Fertile. Thank you very much, Prithvi Vilasini Mataji. Hare Krishna. Just thought I will add that point.
Wonderful, wonderful. And thank you for getting back to Chitraketu Maharaj and also Lakshahira. Thank you so much for connecting that, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, like, I'm a new devotee to ISKCON. So my problem is, like, sometimes I feel I can feel that I'm being lazy and it is on my part, but sometimes I have also experienced this, even if I'm struggling so much, whether it is waking up in the morning doing attentive japa, but sometimes the body many a times the body does not let me do so. I mean, and being a grihastha, being a mother, so many other things are there. I cannot just say, okay, every day I will sleep at night. Every day I will do like that. It becomes, I don't know, maybe it is me, but it becomes very difficult doing other things and then, you know, being so committed to the rounds. And sometimes I feel even if I'm struggling very hard from whatever tiny bit of my side, my struggle, I'm not able to do what I'm supposed to. And sometimes that makes me very morose and upset that I'm trying and I'm not able to do it. So Prabhuji, what is your suggestion? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Sorry, I was on mute. So Anuradha Mataji, thank you so much for your very nice question. I was saying that this morning I was hearing a Bhagavatam class by my Guru Maharaj, and he gave this Bhagavatam class in the year 1998 on the glories of holy name. And he was saying, he was asked a question by one Mataji after the class, that we have so many duties, so many responsibilities, and sometimes we are not able to get the time to chant properly, you know, on a regular basis. Or sometimes we are with friends or family members and they are talking something that is not really Krishna conscious or not really favorable to Krishna consciousness, or they may not have such a serious attitude towards Krishna consciousness, maybe a little frivolous. So I feel it would be rude on my part to redirect them to Krishna consciousness. So I just politely stand and hear what they have to say. But then I realize I just wasted so much time. So what do you think, Maharaj? So Maharaj said that if you don't redirect them to Krishna, you are being rude to them. Hare Krishna. So this is a very deep lesson, because we have so many duties and responsibilities, Mataji. I am also a grahastha. I also have children. And you are also grahastha. You also have children. We all have duties and responsibilities. So we have duties and responsibilities. But what is the quality of those duties and responsibilities? If our chanting is good, please highlight this in your heart. If our chanting is good quality and good quantity, then the quality of our duties and responsibilities, the way we are taking care of our children, the way we live, all the roles and responsibilities that we are fulfilling in this society, the quality of that will be very good. Because purity is the force. The quality comes from purity. And if we purify ourselves by good bhajan, naam bhajan, good chanting, quality wise and quantity wise, not just I will chant two rounds with good quality and remaining I will chant later on. No. All 16 rounds, they are your offering to Guru and Gauranga every day. These 16 rounds have to be extremely high quality. So if the quality and quantity of our bhajan is good, we will see that we are able to cook better. We will see that we are able to take up the studies of our children better. We will see that we are able to manage our household duties and responsibilities better. Everything will become better if we give priority to Krishna. Because Krishna is the ability in us. Krishna is the ability in us. He gives us all the abilities. Paurusham Nrishu. He gives ability to all of us. So if we give priority to Krishna, then even the quality of our work will improve tremendously. Example is Bhakti Vinod Thakur. He was the most efficient magistrate under British India. So much so that the British constructed a whole railway track for him because he was so valuable to them. The second thing I would say, Mataji, is we must associate with devotees who have Naam Ruchi. We must hear from devotees from our Gurugan who are very advanced. We must hear from the pure devotees. If we do that, naturally the fire of bhakti will be reignited. And we will get consistency in our bhajan. We will get consistency in our bhajan. We are shaky in our bhajan. But if we make honest attempts and give full priority to the morning program, at least 2 hours, we give priority. Then, and we associate with high class devotees, then we are shaky in spiritual life and we will become steady. From shaky, we will go to steady. there is also a series of lectures, 4 or 5 lectures by Radhesham Prabhu. They are entitled Shaky to Steady. You can look them up on YouTube. Shaky to Steady, Radhesham Prabhu, Radhesham Das, on his YouTube channel, Radhesham Devotional Lectures. So you can hear those lectures, Mataji. My humble request, you can hear those lectures. They are based on a book, Harinam Chintamani, no, that is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. There is a book written by Shivaram Maharaj, Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani. Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani. So it is based on a book by His Holiness Shivaram Swami Maharaj, Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani. And Radhesham Prabhu has given a series of 4 to 5 classes called Shaky to Steady. I have found that very, very insightful for my bhajan. So you can also hear those lectures, Mataji. Beautiful PowerPoint presentation. In fact, we should invite Radhesham Prabhu on Bhakti Sangha Japa group to give him a presentation on how to improve our bhajan, how to make our bhajan steady. So we can do that. So Mataji, please hear those 4 or 5 lectures. Shaky to Steady. Can you do that?
Sure, Prabhuji. Sure. I love to listen to Radhesham Prabhu anyway. So thank you so much for that, Prabhuji. Thank you for the
that will help, Mataji.
Thank you so much. Dhanyavaad,
Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. So I have one question. So like I'm having a hard time like keeping up with everything that I'm doing in school, like not school, but like normally and generally in my life. So how am I supposed to like, you were talking about time, not timetable, but like managing your time. So like I'm having like a hard time. It's not like a problem, but like I'm just having a hard time following everything that I do on my schedule these days. So how am I supposed to like concentrate on everything and do everything that I'm doing?
Hare Krishna. What is your good name?
Anshu Prabhuji. I used to join your classes once when you used to give in the Bhakti Sangha.
Hare Krishna. Anshu, thank you, beta, for thank you for a very nice question. So what you should do is you should sit down with your parents and you should make a list of 3 things that are the biggest challenge for you. 3 important things that you are not able to balance. Okay? And then we all have 24 hours in a day. You make a schedule for yourself, a timetable for yourself, fitting in adequate time for sleep, physical activity, fun, spending time with family, school, and you see things that you are doing which are not very efficient and you try to work on them. Parts of the day where you feel that I'm kind of wasting my time, I'm just not being very productive, I'm not really doing anything valuable, you try to get rid of those areas in your day. Try to replace them with something more fruitful. And with the help of your parents, you make a schedule and make a priority for 3 things which are most important to you right now. Okay? And you give, in that timetable, you give priority to those 3 things and work on them. Okay? And even if you are not able to stick to that schedule, don't be discouraged. Even I am not able to stick to my schedule every day. It is always a struggle. But the timetable, the schedule is meant to give us a broad guideline. That, okay, this time I am supposed to do this. This I am supposed to do this. I need to still do that. I am late on that, like that. So it is supposed to encourage us and keep us grounded. Keep us, give structure to our day. These timetables are supposed to. So with the help of your parents, you find out 3 things which you are struggling with that needs to be prioritized, but you are not able to give them time and you try to work them into your schedule. Okay, beta? Your parents will help you.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. And I will pray for you.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Can I pronounce, please accept my humble obeisances. This is Ajay Govindas here. Prabhu, I can see you are sitting in a car, look like you know, you're at work and you're taking time out to give us the important and you know tips in the discourse you have given. It's awesome. Very simple language and very important points. I have 2 things, a little bit of a question and more of like, you know, a query for my personal thing. You talked about managing the schedule, and in that you were saying that, you know, we can hear a lecture while we are doing the aarti, we can do something else like, you know, taking during the shower, we can hear a kirtan or something like that. Some of the things, are good to do, definitely. But my main question was related to when you said that, you know, we can do the aarti and at the same time we can hear a lecture. I tried that, but personally...
Not aarti, during puja.
Okay.
When you are bathing Shaligram Shila or you are dressing the deities, that time.
Oh, okay.
Not during aarti.
Okay. Thank you for that point, Prabhu. I misunderstood, like, you know, while you are doing a aarti, you know, how you can
do that.
So, my apologies. The other thing, you were talking about, you know, different levels of the devotees. I mean, you were giving the examples, how they take the initiative. You know, some of them need guidance throughout their life. Some of them, with a little push, they move forward. And some of them, you know, with a, you know, they don't move or things like that. But I was hearing that and I thought that, okay, Prabhuji is going to tell me something which will help me out, because I think I'm at the lowest level and you will give some tips to me so that I can improve and go to the next level. But you said that they are all at the same level, which you explained. So from that perspective, absolutely fine. But on the flip side, if I see, you know, myself, then how do I improve and go to the next level? Because definitely, you know, service is an important aspect and preaching is a critical thing. And if we are not moving ahead, then at least I think that, you know, I'm lacking somewhere. Would you comment on that too? And my apologies for taking that discussion in an opposite way. Sorry about that.
No, not at all. I should have spoken more clearly. So Prabhu, there are category one is one who like to be told, like to be guided. They are very docile and very submissive by nature. And they feel uncomfortable taking initiative and doing something independently. The second category is take instructions, they will get training and then they want to do something on their own. I will give you an example of this. Jananivas Prabhu and Jayapataka Swami Maharaj. Both are pure devotees. Both are Uttam Adhikaris. And both are God brothers. So Srila Jayapataka Swami Maharaj is category 2. And Srila Jananivas Prabhu is category 1. I'm just saying. So now imagine if Jananivas Prabhu is made zonal secretary. Or you do, you know, he will not be comfortable. But you tell him to dress Ashtasakhis and Radha Madhav and he will be very blissful. So Jananivas Prabhu, actually so many devotees approached him for initiation. And you know what Jananivas Prabhu's answer was? Srila Prabhupada never told me to initiate. He said, Srila Prabhupada never told me to initiate. I got a phone call. So Srila Prabhupada never told me to initiate, he said. He's like that. So, but what Prabhupada told him, he did it to perfection. And he's doing it to perfection. On the other hand, Srila Jayapataka Swami Maharaj was a brand new devotee, Prabhu. And Prabhupada told him, I need help in Montreal. Can you go to Montreal? He went to Montreal and he started, he was the first temple president. He started a temple in Montreal. Then Prabhupada said, I need help in India. You go to Mayapur, you develop Mayapur. So there he has developed this whole Mayapur. Not only Mayapur, he went to Bangladesh, he went to South America, he went everywhere, all over the world. And he set up this. So he is like that. He will get this and then he will just develop it into anything. But Jananivas Prabhu and Jayapataka Swami Maharaj, both are pure devotees, both are Uttam Adhikaris, both are simultaneously different but non-different. So if category one, who is very docile and submissive, tries to be like category two, then it will be disaster. Or if, now here is a point. Here is a point, Ajay Govind Prabhu. If category two, who are very outgoing, if out of complacency, they artificially become category one, then it is a loss of talent. You see? Yeah. So that we have to examine ourselves. That am I category two and I'm behaving like category one? Then that is not good. Then we are not using the full potential that Krishna has given us. So that we have to analyze our inner environment, what Krishna has given us. And honestly, we should do our best.
Got it, Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you for clarifying and adding that. So, you know, it helps me a lot. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Adi Prabhu, for this class. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Binesh Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much. Very nice class, Prabhuji, and very wonderful answers you gave for the questions also. We get to learn a lot from your question answer sessions also. Thank you so much. Prabhuji, I have a question. I have two questions actually. I'll go with first one. Prabhuji, being connected to memories, does it also mean that I'm still connected to material world? Because I keep getting memories sometimes. You know, they keep flashing, especially childhood memories. So, does it also mean, still it means that I'm still attached to the material things? And how should I take it, please, no. Prabhuji?
Madhavi, just yesterday I was talking to one very, very senior devotee. Very, very senior devotee. And he is completely engaged in the service of Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. Very, very exalted devotee. You all know him and you all love him. And I was talking to him and I was telling him that sometimes I like to play cricket. I don't watch cricket, but I like to play cricket with devotee friends. Not with non-devotees, but with devotee friends. We like to play cricket every now and then, maybe once a week or something. Because it helps us with exercise, with bonding. And this devotee told me, yes, that is all right. Even I used to play soccer. He said, I was so good in soccer that I used to play like almost semi-pro tournaments. And he said, even now, sometimes I try to keep up to date to see which soccer team is on the top, which soccer club is on the top. Just 2 minutes, not too much. And then he said, but I don't do it in Purushottam Mass. He said, so see, we are all human beings, Mataji. And we cannot deny the human aspect of all of us. So some memories will come and there is no need to artificially, suppress that. You are a Vaishnavi. And only thing is, if we have memories of doing something which is harmful to Krishna consciousness, those memories do not meditate on too much, not think too much about them. For example, before coming to Krishna consciousness, I used to eat meat. My whole childhood, I ate meat. I gave it up at the age of 18 when I came in contact with devotees. The first day only, Gaur Gopal Prabhu convinced me in the first meeting, don't eat meat. And I promised him I'll never eat meat. And I never did after that. But first 18 years of my life, I ate meat. So I have memories of doing that. And what I should do is try not to delve too much on those memories, because many times memories can become thoughts and thoughts can become a meditation and they can disturb the mind. So, but if these are just good memories, you know, growing up in your neighborhood, time with your friends and parents and family, That's completely normal. We cannot deny the human side. We cannot deny the human side of our natures. So that's okay, Mataji. No problem. But if it is something unfavorable, then we should try to we should pray to Krishna to protect us from those thoughts.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you for clarifying that. Also, Prabhuji.
What was the second question?
Yeah. Purushottam month is going on, and then what is the reason why we sing so many ashtakams in this month, Prabhuji, and especially this Chaurashtakam? Can you please explain?
Yeah. So there are 9 processes of devotional service: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atma Nivedanam. And one of them is Vandanam. Vandanam means to offer beautiful prayers. And the prayers written by pure devotees like Bilwa Mangal Thakur, for example, they are perfect prayers. We can also compose prayers, but because we are not pure devotees, our prayers will not be very pleasing to Krishna. They will be pleasing to Krishna, but they will not be as pleasing to Krishna as the prayers of Narottam Das Thakur or Bhakti Vinod Thakur or Bilwa Mangal Thakur, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, like that. So these ashtakams we chant because they are prayers. Prayers to different personalities. For example, there is Chaurashtakam, which is a prayer to Krishna, who is a thief. Krishna who stole the butter. Krishna who stole the clothes of the gopis. Krishna who stole the heart of Radharani. Shri Radhikaya Hridayasya Chauram. So he's a thief. And we are praying to him that you come and you stay in my heart. Which means you steal my heart also. and you stay in the prison, the karagrihe of my heart. Like that. So it's a prayer keep Krishna always in our mind. Yena kena prakarena manah Krishna niveshaya. So these are all vandanams, are all prayers of Krishna, where we glorify Krishna and we pray to him. And vandanam is one of the nine limbs of bhakti. And the beauty is, vandanam also incorporates within itself kirtanam also, because there is names of Krishna in these ashtakams. So therefore, in this very auspicious month, we try to inculcate our prayerful mood by chanting all these ashtakams and all these prayers, because it constitutes one of the nine limbs of bhakti called vandanam, which is very, very important. Is that okay, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji.
And Chaurashtakam, because this is Chauragra Gandhyam Purusham Namami. This, the topmost, this Purush, Krishna, who is the topmost thief, he is glorified in this Ashtakam. And this is Purushottam Mas, Purushottam month. So we are glorifying that Chauragra Gandhya Purush in this Purushottam month. So specifically we chant this month. Yeah. We can also chant Jagannath Ashtakam. Yes. Because Jagannath is also called Lord Purushottam, who lives in the Purushottam Kshetra, Jagannath. So that is another Ashtakam we can chant.
Okay. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Also, very quickly, for Mataji, when you chant Ashtakams, you can also choose Ashtakams so that you can offer your prayers to different personalities. There is Vrinda Devi, there is Govardhan, there is Yamuna, there is Vrajraj, and there is Lalita Sakhi. They award Vrajvas. They award us residence in Vrindavan. So you can chant Ashtakams to one or two or more of these personalities. So you can chant Vrinda Devi Ashtakam, you can chant Govardhan Ashtakam, you can chant Yamuna Ashtakam of Rupa Goswami, you can chant Lalita Ashtakam of Rupa Goswami, or you can chant Vrindavan Ashtakam of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So like that, you can choose and pick your Ashtakams so that you can address different personalities. You can do Nityananda Ashtakam for Nityananda Prabhu, you can do Sajisuddha Ashtakam for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jagannath Ashtakam for Lord Jagannath. So you choose a personality that is most dear to your heart, and you can choose an Ashtakam, a prayer, as part of your Vandanam for that personality. And my last point is, when you do Vandanam nourishes your Naam Bhajan. I repeat, Vandanam, chanting these Ashtakams, they really nourish your Naam Bhajan, your chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. They give such a nice mood to your chanting, and they add such sweetness and depth to your chanting. Especially when you chant these Ashtakams, by reading their meaning, it becomes very nice, goes very deep. Is that okay, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for this last information also. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hari Hari. Hare Krishna.
Krishna ji, abhikatatara prabhu, koti koti dhanyavad pranam, sila prabhu, sila guru dev ki jai. With your permission, I will take only 1 minute. Prabhuji, that time my Shiva is only 2.5 years old, and I complete my all the cooking, Janmashtami day and everything, and at 12:30 I come for Sri Radha Gopinath Seva, and that time Janva Mataji is with us, Aji Janva Mataji, now she moving in Pune temple. So she said that, I told that my Prabhuji is not allowed to come temple, and that's why I come in the afternoon, and I feel so bad not coming in Gopinath for Seva. Janva Mataji has given such a nice answer that our first duty is to take care of our father-in-law, mother-in-law, and the mentally dead brother-in-law. And you keep your daughter in somebody's house, 1.5 years old, that is not good, Mataji. Please do your seva. When your seva is complete, then Gopinath will allow. And the same thing, Radhanath Maharaj, after 8 years, I went to Gopinath for seva because Prabhuji is not allowed. So Kishori Mataji has come to our house for Gita class. So that Maharaj said same words, that our first duty is taking care of our parents, our father-in-law, mother-in-law. If they are not allowed, if you are at home and Mansi Seva, you feel that I am doing this Seva, all the duties are doing this Seva, that way also you will enter in that Seva and you will take the darshan of Sri Radha Gopinath. And Maharaj said, said that we have to do our round attentively, Prabhuji.
whether it's 2, 4, 6, 8, but we know that I have to start my day by 6:30. So we have to get up 15 minutes early. One day we cannot change our schedule and try to stable that 4, 6, 8, 9 or 10 or 11 round we have to complete. I know that in a struggle days, I start my job 8:30, then Shyam Bihari Prabhu said we have to complete our round morning only. And Vrishabhanu Prabhu said that we have to cook half prasadam in the evening time and please minimum 11 round you have to complete and then only start the your job, material job. So Prabhuji, it is little hard to get up 3:30 or 4 o'clock. But Prabhuji, when we chant our round attentively, its effect to our family, whatever prasadam we cook. Now my daughter, before 15-20 days, I feel so bad that Sita Priya Mataji is going and I have to train little Laddu Gopal and Radha Gopi for one little song. But Drashti is so depressed, so I just give all time to my daughter. We sit in a nearby my house, there is a Sidham Vrindavan Dham, and we hear Mayapur Dham, all the artis and H.G. Adhikadadhar and H.G. Amandar Prabhuji's lecture. Prabhuji, trust me, now she started 7 to 8 round, and she also sing Hare Krishna Mahamantra Narsi Prayer, even Prabhuji also after 20 years, hearing Narsi Prayer. So this is the different part of chanting attentively. Thank you, Prabhuji, for correcting us. So we should not feel upset that I am not getting seva in a temple or not getting seva in a group. Don't worry. We have to chant whatever 5, 6, 7, 8 round. We have to chant attentively and we have to serve our family. By that way, also Kopinath is so happy. This is the Maharaj words. And my counselor, Kishori, also becomes so upset that why you come here? Go and take care of your kids. So that first our duty, first 10 years, I just chant attentively and attend Shri Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. Coming, Kishori is coming to my house. So, moral of the story, no need that we should not feel guilty that we are not able to do a seva in a temple or in a group. Only by chanting attentively and doing seva to serve our family. It's take 23 to 24 years, my Prabhuji started to hear all the artis and bringing all the rose from outside and offering to Narsingadev and Shishi Radha Madan Mohan. So it takes lots of time and lots of patience, but it's work. It's work, Mataji. No need to worry that at present you are not given a time to Srila Prabhupada preaching. But one success. Hari Bol Hare Krishna, Koti Koti Nanvat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. Thank you. And thank you very much not to do Vaishnava Aparadh. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Vrinda Gopika Mataji. A very nice heartfelt comment. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Adhikadadhar Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. This is Vinita Gandharvika. Very, very beautiful, beautiful class, Prabhu. I think this class is for me today. It was so nice, especially your personal struggle and when you were having problem and you were you met your Guru Maharaj. That was so nice, Prabhu. That was so nice. And when you're sharing about three kinds of devotees, that was also so nice to hear about it. Thank you so much, Prabhu, each and everything that you shared today in the class was so nice. Please pray for us so that, you know, we overcome our problems and progress in our spiritual life. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Vinita Gandharika Mataji. All glories to Srila Prabhu. All glories to Bhakti Sangha Japa Group. I pray for all of you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Mataji, we can end the call.
Okay. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, Adhikadhara Prabhuji, for your very enlightening class today. And we are very grateful to you. We look forward to your association again in the future. And, one chakra of the country.
Jai.
Jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare
Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Very wonderful.
Thank you.